JC Corcoran Podcast.
Well, there's a fever that you can't deny. Gotta get together with my friends to see my Redbirds fly. On the TV or at the ballpark or on the radio in my truck, me and Grandpa used to listen to Mike Shannon and Jack Buck. Yeah, I can feel it coming. One thing I know for sure is I got Redbird fever and the Cardinals are the cure. Yeah, I got Redbird fever and I know we're the best. It's a fact we're going all the way 'cause we're better than the rest. And I wear my Redbird colors to every inning that we play. There ain't nothing better than a good old Cardinal game. So here's to my St. Louis out there keeping up the fight. Let me get a big old Cards from you Redbird fans tonight. Go Cards! There's other teams out there, and yeah, they can play. But a Cardinal fan is proud and loud until our dying day. We drink cold beer and eat hot dogs on the bleachers in the sun. No, I don't need no other team, 'cause the Cards are number one. Some people think we're crazy, but Redbird fans are true. Keeping up the fight. Let me get a big old Cards from you Redbird fans tonight. Go Cards! Keeping up the fight. Let me get a big old Cards from you Redbird fans tonight. Go Cards! Go Cards! I said go Cards!
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Friday, March 11th, 2022, 250 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have noted. How are you doing, kids? Poplar Street Bridge is closed in both directions. For those of you listening live or semi-live or whatever we call this on the J.C. Corcoran podcast here at jcontheline.com. All I can tell you is about 4 o'clock this morning, a truck fell off the bridge and went crashing down there underneath the bridge and has been on fire for, you know, over 2 hours now, and the smoke is coming up, and they're afraid that if people try to use the bridge this morning, the smoke is going, plus the combination of the smoke, the snow coming down, the poor visibility, that you're going to have problems. So their solution was to shut the bridge down, because that'll fix everything, right? So it's hard for me to talk about this because, I know, some people won't be listening to this till 2 o'clock this afternoon, or, you know, binge listening on the weekend or something like that. But for those of you who are in this situation this morning, this tractor trailer is on fire and you can see the smoke coming up and the bridge is closed in both directions. But do we care? No, because it's Friday and because baseball is back. Now, let me just tell you something. I know everybody's pissed off. Everybody's going to be pissed off. And that's the way things are after some sort of strike or work dispute. Nobody at the end of the whole thing is very happy. The people who were the workers aren't usually completely thrilled with the situation or the outcome. The owners, they're not really that much happier than they were at the beginning of the whole thing, because now everything is going to cost them more money. And the people directly affected by the situation, in this case, the fans, and to a large extent, you know, the stadium workers and the vendors and stuff like that. There's about 3,000 people who work at Busch Stadium, for example. You know, remember a couple of years back, this is about 15 years ago, all of the Schnucks and Deerberg's workers were out on strike, and it really inconvenienced a lot of people because they had management people, you know, trying to slice salami and stuff like that, and it was really slow, and people were upset, and, you know, we're all creatures of habit. You know, you go into the store, you're sort of used to seeing the same lady who does slice your salami, and you sort of feel like you have a little bit of a kinship with, you know, between you and the people who work in the stores. So there's a lot of people pissed off, but I think there's more people that are happy that there's an outcome and we're going to salvage the entire season. They're going to have to start playing on off days and probably a couple of doubleheaders and stuff like that.
Now, among some of the changes this season, the designated hitter in the National League, and you may be seeing some ads on players' uniforms this year as well.
All right, super exciting.
Oh, the horror of the entire thing. Thank you, Margie. But there's a lot of people who say, look, the players and the owners, in this particular case, I think it was the owners and the commissioner who were the problem here. If you want to get mad at somebody, it wasn't the players this time. It was the management and the owners who were causing the problem, particularly the commissioner. But there is, you know, a case to be made for the idea that it's going to be a lot of people with a rotten taste in their mouths, collectively speaking, because, you know, in relation to Ukraine, you watch what's going on there, and then you see the situation with baseball, with people demanding an improvement in their overall lives and financial structure while all this stuff is going on the other side of the world. You know, it's like I was talking about a couple of days ago. On any given day, you can find something that's going on in the world that is an absolute atrocity. Let's just say, for example, that the Ukraine thing wasn't happening. Everything was normal over there on the other side of the world. Well, you have a famine going on, Bangladesh. Yeah, you still have all these little kids who are ripped away from their parents who are making the trek from South America all the way to the United States on the Texas-Mexico border. There's terrible human atrocities going on in places like Syria. So I'm not downplaying what's going on in Ukraine. I'm just saying that at any given time, even if the Ukraine thing wasn't going on, somebody could stand there and go, oh, the Major League Baseball players and owners, oh, they're so tone deaf because look what's going on, and then fill in the blank. So I don't really buy into that argument. Anyhow, the owners and players reached the new bargaining agreement yesterday. You know, I was only off by a couple of hours. I said that it was going to be within 36 hours. Well, it turned out it was in about 72 hours. So I missed it by a few hours, but I was pretty close on this. I'm going to give myself a win on that, by the way. Anyhow, opening day is going to be April 7th. The teams will play a full 162-game season. As you just heard, National League adopting the designated hitter. I'm still in denial on that. The expanded 12-team postseason. The return of 9-inning doubleheaders, and they're also scrapping that runner on second in extra innings. Players also signed off on the league making future changes, like the implementation of a pitch clock, banning the shift, and making bases larger. Those changes could be made as soon as next season, though. And also, the minimum salary went up about, I think, about $180,000. Other big story is the weather, which we just touched on here a moment ago. The other big story, daylight saving this weekend. And again, there's legislators, you know, talking about making this permanent. They do this every year. They talk about it. Nobody ends up doing a goddamn thing. Every survey, every poll, everything, including the discussion amongst legislators. Everybody is in total agreement that this whole thing about moving the clocks back and forth and everything like this, stupid. Just go to daylight saving time. Stick with that. Leave it alone. Will they do it? Probably not. I know some people will get mad at me for mentioning this, but I think it bears mentioning. And that is, you know, you have these terrible videos. You know, and it's earlier and earlier in the day for me. I used to be able to get to about 8 or 9 o'clock at night before I would OD on war coverage. Now, by 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I just can't watch any more of it. I just can't. But they did one story yesterday about all of the animals that are affected by this, talking about pets primarily, mostly cats and dogs, and, you know, animals having to be abandoned. We saw this with Katrina, where, you know, they were rounding up all of these cats and dogs because people couldn't take them with them when they were going to the shelter, or just in some cases running for their lives. Just the awfulness, the idea of an animal being abandoned in a situation like that. I can't even allow myself to think about that. And a lot of people, adopted Katrina pets. I think maybe at some point you're going to see that happening, although my guess is that most of the adoptions, the emergency adoptions, will be happening in Europe, but you never know. You got between 2 and 7 million refugees. That's a lot of pets. Bad enough as it is. This is the dirty little secret that people don't like to talk about. And I don't know what the numbers are now. I knew what they were back in the 80s because I got into a discussion with Deanne Lane about this once, a big animal lover, that in a city the size of St. Louis, it is on average, about 20,000 cats and dogs that were euthanized every year in St. Louis. Just think about that. Every year in St. Louis, going back to the 80s, there's a lot of no-kill shelters that exist now that didn't exist back in the 80s. And then also, you know, I think the adoption mechanism is more sophisticated now, and the internet has helped with that, and there are organizations that are trying to get pets adopted rather than put down. So at least in theory, you would think that that number would be down, but as late as the 80s, yeah, the number was about 20,000 every year in St. Louis and cities the size of St. Louis. That was going on all over the country. Just think about that for a minute. New York Times today finally did an expanded story about why the president, and when you say the president, we're talking about not just this president, but any president over the course of time, has virtually nothing to do with the price of gasoline. Now, gasoline taxes exist in most states. I don't even know. I'd have to check. It's probably all states. But the taxes, the amount of money that is taxed per gallon, varies from state to state. But it's usually, you know, like 20, 30 cents a gallon. And they're thinking about temporarily suspending that. So that would help, you know, bring the price from, you know, $4.25 a gallon, maybe down to $4 a gallon. You know, I'll take it. But I'm still fascinated by people. You know, people are always preaching personal responsibility. Why then would you go out and purchase a giant truck that is really unnecessary? If you need a big truck for your job or for something you're involved in, or you live on a farm and you need a truck, I totally understand that. But there's a lot of people living in town and country, you know, who have these giant trunks and they're tooling around in these 9 mile a gallon gas guzzlers and then stand around and yell and scream about the price of gasoline when it goes over $4. Well, why did you do what you did? Why did you go buy a gas guzzler, Mr. Personal Responsibility? Are you kidding me? Columbia, Missouri, this morning got 6.5 inches of snow? You got that right, really?
Dramatic scenes downtown after a big rig tumbled off of an on-ramp to the Poplar Street Bridge and catches fire.
And the 5-2's Chris Renier live at the scene with how things are looking right now. Good morning to you, Chris.
It's like, how does it look to you? I'm standing here freezing my ass off in the snow, and I'm breathing thick smoke from a truck that's on fire. How are things there in the studio with your latte machine in the break room? Got the short straw again there, Chris. Oh, speaking of animals, here's a dumb idea. state of Maryland has become the second state now that is going to be banning cat declawing. Now, they use terms like mutilation. It's not necessary to mutilate the paws of a kitten. That's that PETA crap that they're always feeding us. Well, guess what? We just told you 2 seconds ago that 20,000 cats and dogs get put down every year. Now, if people say, I'd like to adopt a cat, but I don't like my furniture being destroyed. I don't like my hands when I'm playing with the goddamn thing being destroyed. Fine, fuck it. Keep your cat. We won't adopt one. So all you've really done is hurt the adoption process. Now, there are people who say you can train cats not to attack the furniture. I think that's a real small percentage, and I really do think it's going to interrupt the adoption process. People don't think these things out all the way. We had a little fun yesterday on Throwback Thursday on Facebook. Instead of putting up things from my past, you know, like an old picture from high school or something, where you look like a complete idiot, and you put Throwback Thursday, you know, if you do that on Facebook, it's sort of fun once a week to do that, and people pull out old pictures. So instead of me pulling out stuff of me, what I did is I went back and I pulled out, I guess you would say, some controversial photos. And a lot of people apparently didn't know about this, which I'm a little surprised by. Back in the, I guess it was the 80s and 90s, Jerry Seinfeld was 39 years old, and his girlfriend for about 3 years was Shoshana Lonstein, and she was 17. So 39 Seinfeld, 17 Shoshana Lonstein. That's a pretty big gap. And we'll get into more on that here in just a couple of seconds. Then you had Don Johnson and Melanie Griffith. At the time, he was 22. She was 14. Brad Pitt had a girlfriend, Shailene McCall. He was 24. She was 15. And a couple of people, very nice people, you know, said stuff like, well, you know, things were different back then, for example, and then they would give their own example of a big gap in age. And all I said is, you know, it's not the age difference. It's the age difference at the age of the child. The girl was only 14 or 15 in these couple of cases. If you slide the whole thing up 10 years, yeah, maybe that's not so bad. 34 and 26 is a lot different than 22 and 14. At least you have a woman. Now you can say woman instead of girl. She's 26, and you do a lot of growing between 14 and 26. It's a lot different than 22 and 14. And Don Johnson did it. Brad Pitt did it. Jerry Seinfeld did it. And particularly the picture of Don Johnson and Melanie Griffith. You know, you think to yourself, well, what does a 14-year-old girl look like? Just look around. Melanie Griffith looks like she's about 8 in this picture. But if we like the person, like we like Brad Pitt, we think Jerry Seinfeld's funny, we liked Miami Vice and Nash Bridges and stuff like that, plus Don Johnson, he's always been a really handsome guy, very, very slick guy. The rules are always different for pity people. But you're still 22 and she's still 14. Give me a break. People are mad at Kim Kardashian today because she gave advice to women in business and it's not being well received. It was an interview in Variety and she said, get your fucking ass up and work. It seems like nobody wants to work these days. And people were like, yeah, I think if you grew up in Beverly Hills with really successful parents and millions of dollars and you're living in a mansion, nobody needs to hear your thoughts on success and your work ethic. So tired of hearing about this Jussie Smollett. This little twerp gets 5 months in Cook County jail. Good. All right, if you want to watch something other than war coverage or just want to take a break from all of that, there's some stuff. The Adam Project is on Netflix starting today. Ryan Reynolds, a time-traveling fighter pilot who teams up with his younger self. The rest of the cast includes Zoe Saldana, Jennifer Garner, Mark Ruffalo, all good actors. Zoe Kravitz hosting Saturday Night Live tomorrow night. American Idol back on Sunday. Late Night Tonight, Jimmy Fallon's got Heidi Klum. Aidy Bryant from Saturday Night Live. I love her. And Martha Stewart on with Stephen Colbert. God, I love Aidy Bryant. She is so damn funny. The Tin Man's oil can from The Wizard of Oz hitting the auction block, expected to fetch about $200,000. I'm laughing already because I can see the bold face on this whole thing. The movie Almost Famous, great picture by Cameron Crowe. And I've often said this, it's practically a documentary. For those of us who are in some sort of the entertainment business, and I include radio in that, Cameron Crowe's depiction of life in the 1970s in this movie is spot on. So you'll remember they were going around in their tour bus. Somehow the bus they used was the tour bus in Disney's The Country Bears. And now you know. The trailer for the final season of Better Call Saul is up on the internet, if you feel like looking at that. That Adele special they did last holiday season, where it was outside up at Griffith Park by the Hollywood sign in Southern California, went very, very well. So there's going to be another two-hour Adele special on NBC called An Audience with Adele. That is going to be Sunday, March 20th at 8 o'clock. It'll be on Peacock the next day. Elton John released a video for his song Finish Line with Stevie Wonder. It includes throwback footage of Elton and Stevie performing together. And there's a Billy Joel biopic in the works called Piano Man, but Billy isn't involved, and the filmmakers don't have the rights to use his music. So good luck with that. All right, birthdays today. Thora Birch. Remember Kevin Spacey's daughter in American Beauty and taking her shirt off and looking damn good. 40 years old. 40 years old today. Johnny Knoxville, 51. Terrence Howard from Empire, 53. Lisa Loeb, Lover, saw her at the Duck Room. She is 54 today. Joey Buttafuoco, who's still considered a celebrity. How about that? At 66. Mr. Don't Worry, Be Happy, St. Louis and Bobby McFerrin, 72. Sam Donaldson, who I met when he was like 30 years old. He and Ted Koppel had just come back from China, and this was back in the early 70s, and nobody went to China and got out alive, you know. So they came back, and they were touring, and they did a speech at my college, and I met those guys. And people thought that Sam Donaldson wore a wig his whole life, and the answer is yes and no. It was actually a weave. It's a weave attached to the side of his head that still had some hair on it. It's the same thing Marv Albert has, same thing Bob Costas has. People who think that Ted Koppel's hair is phony are wrong. That's his own head of hair, by the way. Anyhow, Sam Donaldson, 88 today. Birthdays for Saturday. Aaron Eckhart from The Dark Knight. Harvey Dent, 54. Daryl Strawberry, the Mets are pond scum. He used to have sex between innings. This, according to his own accounts, 60 years old. James Taylor, 74. Mitt Romney, 75. Liza Minnelli, 76. On Sunday, YouTube bassist Adam Clayton, 62. Dana Delaney, 66. Charo, 71. Try 81. William H. Macy, 72. And a guy we had live on the air back in 1990 in Southern California during the Grammys. Over 2,300 movies under his belt. And speaking of under his belt, Ron Jeremy is 69. Make up your own jokes. Billions and billions of dollars spent on porn every single year. It also seems like the people who do the most complaining about it are the ones who are using it the most. And by last count, this guy starred in 1,600 of your favorite porn movies. Ron Jeremy. Today, our JC A-List interview of the week.
And now there's a new book called The Hardest or The Hardest Working Man in Show Business. There's something in parentheses there. It's a very interesting picture section because you're in there with everybody from Brad Pitt to Carrot Top and every stop along the way. Do you ever get the sensation that people are just sort of basking in your reflected glory? It's like, hey, I'm not built like that, but I'm standing next to somebody who is?
Yeah, Brad Pitt loses sleep every night that he hasn't gotten even. Because they don't give up all my good looks to have that just one day with that schmeckle.
Ron, you know? How old were you, and can you remember the moment when you were probably a kid, I guess, when you realized that you were, shall we say, different?
It's a funny story. I was 15 years old. I was in Boy Scout camp, and I was tying up my high boots, and I realized that I could actually kiss where the sun don't shine. So I called my dad on the telephone. And it's a true story. I said, Dad, can a guy do that? I felt like I could do that. He goes, is anybody else in the room with you? No. He goes, well, may I suggest you don't tell too many people about this? Let me be the only person you tell the story to. Because it's nothing bad, but it's just a little weird.
Yeah. Well,
so when you get to be 18 years of age, the girls are going to kiss it for you. So just let it go and worry about it when you're older.
This true did not story. Run in the family? There's nobody else? You don't have, like, brothers?
Yeah, family. Look, when we were little kids, we always would go to the bathroom in front of each other as little kids. kids, you know, so I think the family's a little bit endowed, yes.
Yeah. In the pre-Viagra days, everybody's sort of been there. You're tired, you're worried about something else going on, and even with a fluffer, sometimes things don't work or didn't work.
I'm going to be radio savvy. They don't rise to the occasion.
Yeah, hey, good afternoon.
How radio savvy of me.
Yeah, and now you've got a half a dozen at least people, sound guys, light guys, everybody, guys running the camera, the whole thing, standing around waiting for you, and what did you do?
And an idiot director will go, we're losing daylight, we're losing daylight. A smart director like me will tell the actor, look, relax, there's no pressure, just do the soft core, huggy, kissy, romantic stuff. We'll get to the hardcore whenever you're ready. Mm. You take the pressure off the guy. You get these idiot directors to go, guys, come on, man, we're losing time, man, we gotta hurry, come on. Yeah, that'll work on a schmeckle. Yeah, that'll work. Because, again, why do you think there's so few actors that lasted so many years, like myself, Peter North, Randy West, Tom Byron? There's only a handful of us lasted 20 years.
Don't say a handful.
Because it was hard to do. All these other guys would come along and couldn't do it.
Yeah, because they're constantly changing the women who are in the movies, but it's the
right, but the same guys 20 years. But now you're going to see a whole new thing now. Because of Viagra, now you'll see a lot of different guys. Because now almost any guy can do it now. But the thing that's good is because of the fact that girls like Jenna Jameson or Christy Canyon or Brianna Banks or Jesse Jane or Tara Patrick, these girls are putting away millions of dollars. You know, Jenna's put away $17 million, supposedly, right? So the fact that these girls are making this kind of money, we're getting an amazing influx of women who are breathtaking, who are just absolutely gorgeous. They're dancers from all over the country who were a house dancer making $1,000 a week. They see these porn stars come into their club and make many thousands a day. They go, well, I could do that. And then they go to California. They make a few movies, along with girls from Czechoslovakia, Poland, Hungary.
Yeah.
You know, they come to L.A. to make films. They're breathtaking. But it's just a beautiful crop of women, like just unbelievable.
Ron Jeremy, thanks for spending a little time with us here in St. Louis.
Buddy. Hey, guys, thank you, and thank you, girls, for those cute questions.
Right. Oh, look at that. Look at
and
that.
If thanks. You ever want a job.
No. Call you, Ron.
We've tried. They won't take it.
What a character. I guess you'd have to be if you're going to work in that industry. All right, and let's close today on some gasoline preservation tips. Price of gas hit an all-time high this week, so AAA came along and said, all right, look, first of all, don't buy these goddamn gas guzzlers if you don't need them. Like I said, if you need one, get one. But if you live 5 minutes off of Highway 40, probably don't need a 9-mile-per-gallon giant truck that's five times the size of everything else on the road. Anyhow, AAA says, slow down. 55 miles an hour on the highway. When you go faster than that, it begins to eat away at your fuel economy. Also, use cruise control when you can to stay at a constant speed. Number two, don't brake hard and don't gun it. When you see a red light coming, take your foot off the accelerator and coast instead of braking hard at the last minute. And when the light turns green, don't jam your foot down on the gas pedal and gun it. Number three, remove any dead weight. Not you, Grandma. Every 100 pounds of additional weight can reduce miles per gallon by about 1%. So at the current prices, that's an extra 4 to 7 cents per gallon. Also, rooftop cargo carriers could be a drag on fuel economy as much as 25% at freeway speeds, 8% in the city. If you don't need one up there, take it off. And number four, avoid prolonged idling. If your car is going to be stopped for more than 60 seconds, shut off the engine to save fuel. A lot of newer cars do that automatically. And let's be honest, some of the stuff, like taking your foot off the accelerator and coasting to the red light, is a good way to get you shot, because most people will tailgate you through a Hardee's drive-thru these days. So I'm not really sure that this advice is practical when it comes to the application phase. And finally, Leonardo DiCaprio is supporting several charities offering aid to Ukraine. He also sent his private jet over to rescue as many 25-year-old models as it will hold. And with that, we say that's it for the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Friday, March 11th, 2022. 250 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. For those of you listening on Friday morning, Poplar Street Bridge closed in both directions. Don't forget daylight saving time this weekend. Schnucks Paddock Aisle is open. As always, we're here every weekday morning at about 7 o'clock Monday through Friday. You can binge on the weekend if you want. All the shows are archive. They're absolutely free. You may email me at jc at jcontheline.com. On Facebook, we're at The Showgram with JC Corkman. We do politics here only when it is unavoidable, and we are in the top 10% of all podcasts in this country. Continue to spread the word. It really does help. Be safe out there. Have a great weekend. Baseball is back. That's something to smile about. Weekend is here. It's going to be in the 70s next week. There are reasons to smile. And in the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.